listening to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's all about being transparent, brutally honest, biblically sound, and offering both hope and help for men. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And just remember this, when there's sharpening that's taking place, there's usually some sparks. So just, that's part of the territory that comes with it. So I've shared a lot of sparks with this guy.
Yeah, you know, over the years of sitting across the table from you, Raul, I've experienced a lot of sharpening myself.
Well, it works both ways. And it's not just here in the radio station. It's everywhere else, life, where we end up spending time together and everything. And that's what's important. And that's what helps to mold us into those men that God wants us to be. And so it's important that we have men that are not necessarily yes men in our lives. We need men who are willing to be truthful with us and care more about our salvation than our friendship. And that's really what it comes down to. So welcome. Welcome to the show. We have a topic today that has to do with...
Well, how can I know for sure that I'm saved?
Are you asking me?
That's the topic.
Oh.
Yeah. I've actually got a funny story to go along with this, but we'll get to that later.
Okay, we'll get to that here in a little bit. But we always like to kind of kick things into, start off with a little encouragement so that we can get right to the topic. But we want to encourage you guys for listening in because that's what this thing is all about. That's why you're listening. Anyway, so you got anything that's stirring in your pot there that you want to be able to reveal?
Well, there before us, there have been lots and lots of Christians, very wise men, and you know, and they wrote down their thoughts in books. And so, my encouragement to the guys is, you know, there's a lot of stuff. I mean, there's you know, Scripture is great. Reading Scripture is imperative.
Yes.
There's a lot of wisdom from people who have gone before us, and they've written it down for us. And we can go to this and we can read these books. So I thought this morning that I would that Raul and I would share some of these books that we've read.
Yes.
And you know and say, you know, this is a good book. And so probably my favorite Christian book is The Pursuit of God by A.W. Tozer. It's an older book. It's just full of wisdom, and the thing that I really like about it is it's not real long. You know, so I don't read very fast. I read just about as fast as I speak, maybe a little bit faster. And so I can sit down and I can read this entire book in about 2 hours.
Yes.
But it is just chocked full of godly wisdom, you know. And so when I read this book, I'm inspired and I'm instructed. And it comes from a man who followed God for years and years and years and wrote his wisdom down. Yep. You know, and we can go to these things and we can be encouraged and instructed and taught.
Yes.
You know, but ultimately we have to test everything according to the Word of God.
Amen.
Right? You come across something and you're like, I don't know about this. You know, because I was at one point I was looking for a book on who we are in Christ, our identity in Christ. And so I would download, you know, with the Amazon Kindle, you can download samples and read a little bit.
Right.
So I found a few books and I downloaded a sample and I'm like, well, this is heresy. You know, so I downloaded another one, like, more heresy. All right, let's try another one. Heresy again. And so, like, I'm starting to get discouraged. And then I downloaded one by a guy named Jerry Bridges. And I was like, whoa, this isn't heresy. this is good stuff. So there's another author that I would suggest is Jerry Bridges. But my favorite book of all time is A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God.
Yes.
So what books have inspired you, Raul?
I like Superman 1, Superman 2.
Those
are comic versions.
Those are movies.
Oh, yes.
Superman 2 with Richard Pryor.
You know, I was never much of a reader. I don't know how I got through high school, much less through a couple years of college, but I did. And I read about as fast as I think, but I don't comprehend a deal, hardly. Okay? That's the way it used to be. But today it's different. It's changed. Besides the Bible, one of the books, as you were asking, non-biblical or non-Bible book, in a sense, that has inspired me the most in my walk is Practice the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence.
Yeah. And that's more of a booklet than a book.
And because it's an easy, simple read. And I was given that when I was a couple days after in my recovery from triple bypass that I had back in a long time ago. And what ended up taking place is that I read it, okay? It's a simple read. And I kept saying, I'm not like this. I'm not like this. I'm not like this. And I remember the pastor who gave it to me said, you keep this book, and when you realize when you first read it that you're not anything like this, keep reading it. And so I did. I was trying to be obedient because I did, you know, I was in a very hurtful state, painful state of that recovery, okay? Mm-hmm. And I, you know, and I just, anyway, so I was willing to do anything to be not in as much pain. But anyway, this book, Practice the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence, became very impactful in my walk. I use it even to this day as a devotional at times. It's marked up a lot. It's highlighted, and you know, pages are kind of oily and stuff from the fingers and stuff. But you know what? And it's so important, and it's always led me right back to the Word of God, and realizing just, you know, that there is hope for me. You know, and because of this man's story, Brother Lawrence, and his pursuit of pleasing God and being in His presence, I tell you what, that's what it's all about. We're going to be in His presence for eternity. So I need to know as much as possible now, because believe it or not, this is the beginning of our eternity. So
yeah, that's a good point. You know, our everlasting life doesn't start when we die. It started when we accepted Christ as Savior and Lord.
Absolutely. So there you go. There's my book and your book.
Yep. So guys, you know,
Brother Lawrence of Tozer.
Pick up some good books.
All right, there you go.
There's a lot of bad books out there, though, so be careful, and so check it all by scripture.
And if you're not a big reader, hey, sometimes you can get these on CD where you can actually listen to these books also. So, you know, there's a lot of different ways. So don't not read or not listen or not take it in because you don't enjoy reading. But you can always pray and ask the Lord to be able to give you the strength and the discernment and the ability to be able to comprehend. You might be surprised what He will do. So there you go. So how about this thing that is a question at all times that we all, I believe everybody goes through it to a certain degree. After you've gotten to that place of accepting Jesus and saying, yes, He's it for me, and I made a decision, and somewhere down the path, the enemy steals and robs from us enough times that we sit there and go, man, I don't know if I'm really saved.
Yeah, was it real? Did it stick?
Maybe it didn't.
Or am I like Teflon? Did it
slide off? Or maybe I've got
to
raise my hand again and be, you know, maybe I've got to do all these things. You know, once again, I've got to, this time it's, you know, that much deeper. So it's more meaningful and stuff. Well, first I want to just say, I don't care how many times that you accept the Lord and come back to Him. He sees it only one time. And whatever it takes for you to continue seeking Him, you just draw near to Him. He'll draw near to you. So it does not matter. There's no judgment or condemnation. If someone says, hey, you shouldn't be getting down every week and doing that sort of thing, why not? You know, because each and every day I need to be doing that and throughout the day. So.
All right. Good show.
Yeah. I'm out of here. The rest is yours. I'll talk to the producer on my way out. I'm going to go have a cup of coffee.
Oh, boy.
Sorry. Hey, you started it by asking me a question.
I did. Okay. Anyways, at the beginning of the show, I said that I had like a funny story to go along with this. And So I was curious about, you know, like what's out there on the internet about, you know, assurance of salvation.
Yes.
And so I went and I found this webpage that said, you know, it had a test and I could take a test to see if I was saved. And it had a whole bunch of questions and I would answer A, B, C, or D, or yes or no, or true or false, or whatever the question was.
Yeah.
And oh, man, darn it, I'm not saved.
You came up to that conclusion yourself?
No, that's what the test said. Oh, the test said I'm not saved. I know, it was really bad news for me too, Raul.
I can't do the show. I better leave. So you flunked the test.
I did. But you know, the test was really based in legalism.
Yes.
And so when you take this
we'd
legalistic,
all flunk.
yeah, we would. We most certainly would. Yes. You know, because like one of the questions was, is there anybody that you don't like?
Yeah.
I'm like, well, yeah. And so apparently because there's somebody that I don't like, I'm not saved.
Yes, yes.
Ah, goodness gracious. So if you come across one of these tests on the internet, run. Do not take that test.
Yes, flee.
Man, I'll tell you what, because the devil, our enemy, he wants to place all the doubts in our mind that he can.
Yes.
You know, first off, you know, the first thing that he wants to do is he wants to keep us from knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior.
Yes.
When he fails at that, his next step is to destroy that relationship as much as he possibly can.
Hmm.
You know, to steal that joy and to steal that assurance. And he's crafty. This guy's been at it for a long time. He's learned a lot of tricks. And he's really good at deception.
Yeah.
You know, and so what some of the things that come up is, you know, when you know, we go back and we do that sin that we have been saved from, you know, all of a sudden we have a doubt. It's like, oh, wait a minute, I'm a Christian now. I shouldn't have done that. Am I really saved? You know, mm-hmm. because I went and I did mm-hmm. that thing again. You know, so now we have that doubt. And then that doubt makes me think, well, why am I even trying? You know, so I'm just gonna give up on this whole being a Christian thing.
Yeah, because
you know, because
obviously...
I'm just I think that it's by my efforts that I'm a Christian. So, you know, and now I am, since I'm giving up on it, I run out and I just, you know, indulge in whatever sort of sinful activities that I want to be in.
Yeah, because the Bible even says that I'm not a Christian because I need to be chosen by God, and I don't think I was chosen by God because obviously if I was, I wouldn't be having these problems, right?
That's one of the lies that he can put in our head.
Yeah, he takes a little bit of truth, stirs it in with a lie, and you know what? You end up eating it like it was, wow. I mean, you do that with anything. Okay. All of a sudden it's easier to take it down and swallow it. You know, that's why your mom always put something that was good for you in something else that was sweet and good tasting. Right. So that you would not notice the medicine that goes down.
Or the cheese whiz on the broccoli.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Well, anyway, the fact is that we end up listening to these lies and we start questioning what we're doing. We think, sometimes as a result of, I mean, well, let's put it this way. What is a person to expect to happen when they're at that place that they believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of Man, that he died for my sins, okay, and he defeated death by resurrecting 3 days later, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he lives today, and he's sitting at the right throne, right-hand side of God, right? Waiting to come back, okay? Why is it when I was at that point of believing that I would somewhere along the line think that it's not, you know, that all of a sudden things are not the way I thought they ought to be?
Well, because we think that when we give our life to Christ that my problems are going to disappear.
Yes.
You know, hey, okay, God, I'm doing it your way, and this is going to solve all my problems. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because I did things this way, it caused this to happen in my life. And because I'm not going to do things that way anymore, that's not going to happen anymore. And, and all the people that I've hurt, you know, they're all going to forgive me. And that disease mm-hmm. that I picked up, yep. well, God's going to heal me of that disease.
Yes.
You know, but you know what? It doesn't really work that way.
Yeah.
Because Jesus says, in this world, you will have trouble.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, we think that when we give our life to Christ, my trouble is going to be gone.
Yeah.
I can guarantee that that's not the case.
Yeah. And then after, of course, you realize that or you hear that, you sit there and you go, wait a minute, I didn't sign up for this. You know, I want the get out of jail free card.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes, I did do those things, but God has forgiven me, so I shouldn't have to be going to jail or paying any fines or doing restitution of any type, right?
Right. I call that a Judas mentality. And and the reason why is, Judas was one of the 12 disciples, walked with Jesus for 3.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this guy was probably casting out demons with the other guys, witnessed miracles, maybe performed healings. You know, it doesn't record that he specifically did that, but, you know, walking with Jesus, if he wasn't doing these things, they'd be like, hey, how come Judas can't cast out the demons?
He sure witnessed them, though.
And he witnessed it. And so here's this guy walking, you know, among the 12, but his heart never truly belonged to Jesus mm-hmm. because he wanted what Jesus had to offer and what he thought Jesus had to offer. See, he thought that Jesus was going to come as that conquering king Messiah, and he wanted to be right there at his side. When the
riding the coattails.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so when everything starts to break down and he sees it, you know, that Rome and all the Jews are coming against Jesus and, you know, it's likely he's going to be crucified, he says, hey, I know what, I'll make a little bit of money off of this. Mm-hmm. So Judas was always interested in what was on his master's table. It wasn't for the love of the master.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's kind of the Judas mentality. And honestly, a lot of us come to Christ legitimately with the idea of, you know, receiving something from Christ.
Yes.
And then when we come to this place and we realize who he is, well, you know, we can come to that point and repent of that.
Yes, yes.
You know, so if somebody comes to Christ in that way, I'm like, you know, okay, we'll give this time and allow God to work on his heart.
Mm-hmm. It's that vending machine mentality, right? Where you actually end up saying, hey, look at that, a Milky Way. And it's only 50 cents. And I have two quarters of my
50 cents? What decade are you living in?
That's why I'm sitting there, I'm going, I really got to buy it because it's only 50 cents.
Okay, okay.
Okay, and so go with me on this. And I drop the quarters in, right? And I get the candy bar because the candy bar is going to give me, it's going to the satisfaction, it's going to give me the joy, it's going to fill in that void inside me, right?
Mm-hmm.
All the things that candy bar means to us, right?
Making me hungry.
It's going to... I'll change it to Snickers then, okay? It's the Snickers, right?
Okay. I'm sorry, keep going.
The point being is that all of a sudden, now that I've eaten it and it's gone, it's like, it's done, you know? Then some of my ugly character defects start to rise their ugly head at that time, called gluttony. Well, I need another one. You know, so I've got more money. And so I put my money in. I give my time to the Lord. I said, Lord, I'm accepting you. And I just expect all these good things for you to take out of my life. I'm in debt. You're going to get me out of debt. I'm in. My wife is not doesn't even want to talk to me. You're going to bring her back into my life, or you're going to bring me a woman to put in my life, et cetera, et cetera. All these things, expectations that we put on God
mm-hmm.
as a result of expecting what he's going to give us because we accept him, right?
Right.
And it doesn't work that way. But we're going to take a break right now. We're going to regroup. We're going to come back. We're going to give you guys some more reasons to keep listening. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
As iron sharpens iron, this is Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
Football season, it's the perfect time to grill up some dogs, whether at a tailgate party or out on your back deck. And the perfect choice is a Hempler's Bun Buster hot dog. Or if you really want to impress your friends, grill up some Hempler's Hot Link sausages, or maybe some of their smoked sausage and cheese kielbasa, or smoked garlic sausage, or you've got to try their amazing double-smoked sausages. Yum! Can't you almost taste them right now? Plus, the entire Hempler collection of smoked meats are gluten-free and they have no MSG. At Hempler's, they have a proud family tradition of slowly curing, cooking, and smoking their meat naturally over hardwoods. Look for Hempler's Meats the next time you're at your local supermarket. For more information, visit Hempler's.com.
Every life is unique. Every life has a purpose. So when it comes time to remember the life of a loved one who has passed on, Cascade Monuments can help memorialize that special loved one through a personally designed monument. Cascade Monuments can engrave stones with the image of a person's face, majestic mountain scenes, sailboats, and more. Some monuments even contain built-in solar-powered video screens, and at the push of a button, a video montage will reveal the loved one's life. Learn more by visiting CascadeMonuments.com. I'm running like a prodigal.
Turning it down. I'm just listening because I don't think I've heard that before. I think I have, but not the words in a sense. Anyway, so we're back. We're talking about salvation. Can we lose it? Have we got it?
Mm-hmm.
Can you lose something you don't have? You know? So anyway, I just want to read. I got to just throw a word of God out here.
You have to.
We went a whole part here that didn't... For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
Period. And it goes on and on and on. Romans chapter 5. So often I don't think anything happens by mistake in God's world. I believe at that time when I, very first time that I said, I need to be following you, because I was at a place in my life where I said, I can't do this any longer. And I do believe in you. And I do want to follow you. And all of those things, and I am willing to ask for forgiveness for my sins. And to turn away from that sort of thing. Because I believe. Okay? And that's all Scripture tells us that needs to take place.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, Scripture is clear that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. It doesn't word it exactly like that, but that's the summation of numerous different verses.
Right.
What does it take to be saved? Faith.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. So on the basis of...
How much faith?
The faith of a mustard seed. You know, you plant the seed and the seed germinates and grows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but to be saved, just that tiniest little bit of faith.
Yes.
And I find it to be a truly wonderful thing that God made the easiest thing in the life of a person all that is required for salvation.
Yes.
And that's just to have faith.
Yes.
To believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior.
And again, that mentality that we have in this world, the way that we are today, that, I mean, we go to the grocery store, we buy these things, we put them on the moving belt, and they ring it all up, and that can be ours, but I've got to pay for it, right? Mm-hmm. I got to pay for it, all right? And here, God's saying, hey, put all the things you want on here, on this belt. put it all on there and let it all get rung up, all the stuff, right?
Yeah.
And it's been paid for.
Yep.
It's already been paid for. He says, hey, I got this.
And not only that, but our own debt that we have in Colossians, it says that has been nailed to the cross.
Yes.
You know, a legal transaction has happened here.
Yes.
You know, my debt that I had, all that sin that kept me from God, it was nailed to the cross.
Yes.
You know, not to be pulled off of the cross again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's what the Mormons will teach you.
Yes.
They say that, you know, you're saved by grace after everything that you've done to save yourself.
Yes.
And if you go and you commit that that same sin again, not only are you not forgiven for the sin that you just committed, but all the sin that you had committed in the past comes right back on your shoulders.
Yes.
That is a false doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that's not the God that I serve. That's not the God of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my sin is nailed to the cross. Mm-hmm. My sin is cast as far as the east is from the west.
Mm-hmm.
But then that raises the question, what if I return to that sin,
yes,
that I had done before?
Yeah. And the first thing that pops in our mind is that I must not be saved.
Right.
And that's not true. That's a lie from the enemy. That all comes from the enemy. You've got to remember that he's trying to get you discouraged about your walk to where he sits there and says, well, hey, I'll just wait here for you because you'll be back here momentarily and we can go sin together or whatever that is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is that we believe that lie. When is, if we were to do just the opposite and take that thought that's in our head to someone that we know is connected to Christ, in other words, they seek him like we are, maybe even more. It could be an authority. It could be a pastor. It could be a ministry leader. It could be a brother that you know knows the word of God. We could humble ourselves and go to him and say, or talk to him on the phone, communicate with him. Hey, I need to run this by you. This is what I'm thinking. Because I've done this once again, that all of a sudden this is, you will be surprised at what you will hear. It will not go along, I would like to believe, along with the lie that you've been hearing in your own head.
Yeah.
Fellowship is so important in this type of thing. And we have a tendency as men to just stay with, hey, I can figure this out. I got this.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously? You said you wanted to follow Jesus? Jesus was relational. He picked 12 guys to start out with, okay? He's going to be in relationship with them. I mean, they're men.
Mm-hmm.
They were probably in the same awning or tent or whatever together at one time. And I bet that got a little stinky sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
But the fact
there,
is,
there was no Old Spice back then.
My point being is that we have to capture every one of these thoughts that come in to our mind. I know we're talking about salvation, but I'm telling you, all of these thoughts that come in, we have to capture them. And as you had said before, line them up with the Word of God. Line them up with Jesus. Is this what he says? Is this what, you know? And if you don't know where to even look, that's where you find help. Because the enemy's going to say, oh, just set this on the counter. We'll get back to it later. Hey, let's go do this right now because you'll figure this out later on. You know, it's a lie. Everything that comes from his lips is a lie.
Yeah. But Jesus, who tells the truth, he said that everything that the Father has given to me will come to me and I will not lose any. Okay? So if you have come to faith in Jesus Christ, Jesus himself says that you cannot be lost by him.
Mm-hmm.
That you and he says that the enemy cannot snatch anything out of his hand.
Yes.
You know, but then some will say, well, isn't it possible for me to walk away from God? Do you really think that you are bigger than God, that you could walk away from him? I say no.
Yes.
You know, I will say this, though, that there are a lot of very godly people who would disagree with me on this. And they say that you can walk away from your salvation. I would disagree with them, but it is something that is within orthodoxy. I would argue it until I'm blue in the face. just saying.
Then you gotta have to find somebody to give you CPR, right? Start turning blue.
Right? Yeah.
Hopefully there's some friends around and not just the people who disagree with you. Because they say, oh, look at him. He's out of breath.
Amen. Amen. And that's, you know, and I have friends. I have friends around me. And, you know, we do serve a relational God. Like you were talking about earlier, you know, that we think that, you know, okay, I've accepted Christ and, okay, well, I've got it from here, God. You know, I'll take care of all this myself. I don't need any people. And if I were the enemy, what would I want to do in this case? I'd want to separate God's people from other Christians so that they can't be encouraged and inspired and taught. You know, and you know, Paul addresses this to the Galatians.
Mm-hmm.
He says, "You foolish Galatians," and then you go down a few verses and it says, you know, you started in the spirit, and you think that you can finish in the flesh?
Yes.
You know, our entire Christian walk is a walk in the spirit. It's, you know, a continual submission to God and say, you know, no longer is it my way, but it's your way. You know, and we repent of our sins because of the kindness that God has shown us through the salvation. We think that, that you know, it's our repentance that we're saved because of our repentance.
Yes.
No, it doesn't work that way. Yes. God saves us on his own accord by the power of the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
But it is that kindness that has been shown to us in Jesus Christ that leads us to repentance. That's in Romans chapter 2.
So let's go to Romans 10:8 before we take a break here.
Okay.
Romans 10:8. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Period. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. So, pretty simple.
It is
pretty clear. It lets us know that this is all we have to do. Just believe and to speak it with your mouth. Okay? And in doing so, that's it. You know, you go to the Lord and you ask for forgiveness. You turn away from that lifestyle that you turn your heart. It's a heartfelt repentance. Okay? Mm-hmm. It's not just a physical, I'm going to turn away, I'm going to move to another state. No. Because all of those temptations, all that stuff is still going to follow you wherever you go. You don't leave it behind. Okay? Even if you load everything in the U-Haul and head out of town, guess what? When you open that U-Haul back door, it's all going to come out.
All that baggage is
still
there.
All that baggage is still there. Okay? Let's take a break. We'll come back and let's, we've got, man, we just opened a can of worms, right? We just started to get into a few things. We go into all different areas here. But let's talk about this and how some of the things that we can do, what application we can do in our lives as men to be able to feel and think differently than we have, especially when it comes to, do I really know I'm saved? We'll be right back. You're listening to Band Brothers Radio.
No sugarcoating here. It's real talk about real issues for real men. Band of Brothers Radio.
Hi, this is Raul Chavez, founder of Band of Brothers for Christ in Bellingham. And if you're a man living in our area, I'm inviting you to enjoy a free barbecue and a uniquely inspiring atmosphere for men on Tuesday nights. The men of Band of Brothers for Christ come from dozens of different churches and gather together at 6 p.m. every Tuesday night at Christ Community Church, located on the corner of Guide and Horton Roads. You'll enjoy a time of eating together, developing meaningful relationships with other men, getting inspired and equipped by God's Word, hearing amazing, radically transparent testimonies from other courageous men. Be courageous yourself and come and check us out on Tuesday night. You'll find more information at bandofbrothersforchrist.org. bandofbrothersforchrist.org. Looking forward to seeing you on a Tuesday night.
Looking for another option for your internet service?
Need a more reliable, high-speed internet? StarTouch is the premier provider of wireless broadband to businesses, government entities, schools, and residential customers in the Pacific Northwest. In fact, the talk show ministry you're listening to right now uses StarTouch as our internet provider. Experience the StarTouch difference. Get a free quote by visiting StarTouch.com.
Let me return to you again. And Lord, let me burn for you again. Let me return to you again. God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart. You light up my soul on fire. Lord, I'm longing for your way.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio and Soul on Fire. I could listen to that all day long. He is fire. So when we seek him, that means that he's going to burn away those things on us, in us, that are unnecessary.
Yep. And after that sword has been pounded out, guess where it goes again? Back into the fire.
Back into the fire. And so the good thing is that there is hope in for our lives. We just don't want to put an expectation because all of our thinking, all of our best ideas have not worked. And when we realize that, then we start looking to other things. And we've looked to those areas of darkness, of getting pleasure and relief and all the things that we believe that we would desire and want. We fall short on those. Mm-hmm. Until you fall flat on your face, as I have, to our Lord Jesus Christ, saying, I can't do this anymore, but I need you. And there's a reason for that, because, you know, we so desire. We're created by him. It's no different. I mean, there's a bond that has already taken place, whether we realize it or not. And you're listening. You want to know whether or not you've been chosen or predestined. It's because you listen to this, what we're talking about right here. You already are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If you weren't, you wouldn't be listening to the Word of God anywhere, okay? But because you know that this is the best way, it may not be the way that you want to go because the world is saying this is what you need to do. You got to have these kind of people in your life. You got to have this type of lifestyle to be able to be truly happy and joyful. No, brother, those are all lies. The enemy is just trying to lure us in. God wants us to be able to have. He wants to provide for us, but he wants us to seek him. And in seeking him, guess what he's going to do? He's going to bless you. He's going to bless you beyond your comprehension and your family and those that you love and those that you care for. And he's actually going to give you purpose. You want to know what your purpose is? Seek God. Seek him.
Yeah. You said something that's interesting. You're talking about, you know, being chosen, being elect. You know, the Greek word is eklektos, and it's translated both chosen or elect.
Yes.
And I've seen guys who, you know, they wonder whether or not that they are, you know, the elect of God. And they'll say, you know, I love God. I believe in Jesus. I'm just not sure that that he has chosen me.
Hmm.
Now, I just have to point out that you love God. You trust in Jesus. That means that he has chosen you. You don't have to wonder at that point whether or not you are the chosen of God. You are. You are chosen in him, and you are in Jesus Christ, the chosen one. So I just wanted to put that doubt aside because it can raise up in us these, you know, these periods of, you know, drought in our lives, you know, where we wonder, we doubt our salvation. And we actually, you know, we say, you know, well, Raul, I don't feel saved. So if I don't feel saved, you know, I must not be saved. And that's, you know, and so that's an interesting point, because here we are, we're taking our subjective feelings and we're putting them above the absolute truth of the Word of God. And so if I were to say that, I would be coming along and saying, okay, well, you know what? I believe in Jesus, but Raul, I've sinned again. I have no joy. I just don't feel the love of God. I don't feel the salvation. I think that I must not be saved. You know, and that, Raul, that's putting my feelings above what God says about me. Mm-hmm. And it's, we always have to go back to the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? The Word of God says that we are saved by grace through faith, not of our works. You know, is there anything that I need to do to earn God's favor? No, it's already given through the blood of Jesus. We already have that. So when it comes to, you know, what if I don't feel saved? You know, that's just another lie from the enemy trying to get us to doubt our relationship, to steal our joy, to and destroy that or hinder, I would say, that relationship that we have with Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Because if that's hindered, well, you know, I'm not going to be doing anything for the kingdom of God.
No, you'll end up doing things for the enemy instead. You'll put doubt into others who know you. See, the enemy knows what to do. He knows that you have a connection with other people, that there are other people he wants to have influence the way that he's influencing you when you have thought of whether your salvation is solidified or not, or whether it's true or not, or whether Jesus is really the real deal, okay? All those lies. He wants you to doubt it so that when you talk with others that you know, you can influence them. Because you are influential. You're influential to those in your lives. They may be your children. They could be your nieces and nephews, your grandchildren. They could be your wife. They could be your friends. It could be all whom everyone that is in your life, one way or the other. See, there's something about when we say, God bless you, I'm going to keep you in prayer, versus, hey, man, I'll see you later, man. Let's go have a couple of beers later on and see what's going on down there, you know. Two different things, two different roads. They both sound like fellowship, but one's really not the right way, okay? There is one that is the way, and that's that way of seeking the Lord. Now, I'm not saying you can't enjoy life. That's not what I'm saying, okay? We give God the praise and glory. We seek Him first. We seek Him first above all things, okay? And then He'll let us know the things that He wants us to be a part of or not be a part of. You know, and that's called conviction. Okay. And when that conviction comes, that means that we need to question what our motives are, or the reasons that we're doing what we're attempting to do, because it doesn't feel right. That's the Holy Spirit in you, letting you know that, hey, no, don't go there, Raul. Don't go there. That's not a good thing. It may look good. It may sound good. It may smell good. Everything about it may look like this is a good thing. It's going to be pleasurable. It's going to be everything you've been looking for. But that's not it. And I need to pay attention to that. And see, Jesus reminds us in the Gospels, right, that my sheep will know my voice.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay? And how do we get to know His voice? How do I get to know Eric's voice? By just hearing it one time? No. The more time I spend with Him, I'll hear His voice. And it becomes very distinctive to me, and I'll be able to know that. Last night after a study that we did, our study group at the church, my granddaughter, who happened to be in the child care, came running upstairs. Now, I didn't see this because there's other guys around and we're cleaning up and everything. All of a sudden, I hear this, Papa, Papa. I know that voice, okay? She's coming up looking for me. She can't see me, but she's calling out to me. And she comes up and hugs, and I just hug her and stuff. You know, that's the same thing that our Lord does. He's calling on us. We know His voice. I know her voice. I know your voice. I know my wife's voice. And this because I have relationship with Him. I spend time with you guys. Mm-hmm. And it's quality time. Okay? And the more often that I spend time with you, I recognize your voice. So when He says, my sheep will know my voice, I need to pay attention to that. So when that conviction comes, when I'm in the midst of sin, when the flesh is trying to take me a different direction and the Holy Spirit is trying to tell me something else, I need to pause and listen.
Yeah. And, you know, and how do we get to know God? How do we get to know His voice? Because, you know, I'll be honest with you. I've never heard an audible voice.
Me either.
But that's okay, because I have God's written word for me in the Bible. And I can read it, and I can have the truth revealed to me so that when the counterfeit comes by, I will know that, hey, wait a minute, that's not truth. That doesn't accord with God's word.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that's a counterfeit. That's a lie. You know, it's the same thing with a person who inspects money to try and find counterfeit bills.
Mm-hmm.
They don't study counterfeit bills in order to identify counterfeit
the real
bills.
Deal.
They look at the real deal. They study it. They look at it. They look at the way every little detail is printed.
Right.
And they study it and they study it and they look at it over and over and over again. And you flash at them a counterfeit dollar bill for just a split second. I know that. That's a fake.
Yeah. And, you know, so often we rely on our own senses when we need not do that sort of thing. Making decisions based on emotion and feelings, you know, it's not necessarily the best way. But here's the deal. Most of the time when I sit there and you use the example of that, hey, not knowing His voice and this is how I do it through His word. What if you don't have time to get into His word? Okay. Well, do you have time to be able to pick up the phone? You know a brother who might know the word of God. And if nothing else, he might be able to pray for you and so that you would be able to receive what God has in store. This is where relationship comes in. This is where God gives us an opportunity of being able to have, I don't know everything in the Bible, but I do know men who do know more than I do, and I can call them. And, you know, it's amazing how they end up answering the phone when I think, oh, they're too busy. They're not going to answer the phone. They answer the phone. And I go, oh, my goodness. Okay, I've got to run this by you. This is the situation. And you know what? I trust in God that He put them in my life for a purpose and a reason.
Yeah.
Okay? Not to cause me harm. What the enemy has meant for destroying us and everything, God ends up being glorified when we seek Him.
Amen.
And as a result of that, our lives have changed and we receive wisdom as a result of it. We were able to share and to be able to help others. Before you know it, you're getting the phone calls from other brothers. Okay?
Yeah,
because they know that you seek God, and that's something that is a good, good thing.
All right. Well, hey, I just want to share with you this. I referenced the verse, but I'm just going to read it. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. This is Jesus speaking. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. And eternal life is eternal. Yeah. If you have faith in Jesus Christ, then you are saved, and that's it. It's a done deal. No one can snatch you from the Father's hand.
Praise God.